Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel, Death From Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron and I'm here with Tom and Dom. We are back for season two of Jump Point. Very, very exciting. We've got some excellent episodes lined up for you this season. And today we've got a very, very exciting episode. Tom's been dying to talk about this topic. We're going to talk about the digital future of Battletech. So we're going to talk about things like augmented reality, virtual reality, how it might fit in the game, what it might look like. So lots of exciting things there to hit on. Tom, how excited are you to talk about this stuff?
So excited.
Tom asked if he could wear his VR headset to this.
I have it right here.
I live
in the multiverse.
I mean, who doesn't in 2023? Who doesn't? So good morning, happy Sunday, glad you guys could join us and glad we're back. We're going to kick it off with a little Ready Room roundtable. So the first topic here that we're going to talk about is digital aids, and do the digital aids enhance or detract from tabletop gaming in general? And by digital aids, I mean, you know, we're used to pencils, paper, dice. Yeah. So this could be anything from a dice rolling app to, you know, record sheets managed on a, you know, tablet or whatever, anything along those lines. Tom, why don't we start with you? What is your opinion on that?
Yeah. So I'm going to draw a line between like in-game digital aids, like when you're playing on the tabletop, versus like management aids that you use like for tracking weapons and damage. Okay. And all that kind of stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah, just because, you know, I agree with one and not much with the other. So on the tabletop, I personally have not found digital aids to be helpful at all. I've tried to use like an iPad record sheet app and all of that. I hate it. I really appreciate paper and pencil and the ease of that. Even rule books, right? It's so much easier to annotate and tab a physical book than it is to scroll through a PDF. So I'm all for physical tabletop games. I just don't understand how they would be compelling necessarily. And dice rolling apps, again, not needed. It's not helpful. And it also feels a little bit like, why bother playing? I don't know. Like, just play a video game. So the one thing the caveat I will say is that, like, during the pandemic, you know, there were some opportunities for us to play, not Battletech, but I think we did some D&D or something.
Right, on remotely. Roll20.
And then, Roll20. And then digital dice rollers, all that stuff is way easier. So if you're somehow trying to bridge, like, a distance divide and play, I'm all for it. And then, of course, you know, for campaign management, for, you know, company, you know, assets and stuff like that, it's awesome to have Excel and any other, you know, sort of collaborative platform. Yeah. So,
Dom, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd echo some of what Tom said there. I think the you have got to be careful with aids when it comes to like tabletop, because I think if it goes too far, you lose the like connectedness of what is supposed to be a real thing, or like a simulator, that as opposed to like a computer game, which is just like wholly digital. If you push it too far, I think you can lose the magic which tabletop is there for. But unlike Tom, I actually do use like the Flex app. It's all I use. I actually don't use paper record sheets at all. I do it all digital. The reason why, it's, I think Tom's correct when it comes to the like the simplicity of just having like pen and paper. But one amazing thing that Flex does is it like real time tells you like damage, you know, get a shoulder injury or something like that on the mech. It will then tell you exactly what penalties there are to charging and to physical combat or shooting certain weapons. Or, you know, you lose your, let's say you lose your targeting computer, it will take all those modifiers off like the sheet. Now, if you think about that in terms of an efficiency, time-saving exercise and accuracy, because I don't know about you, but I've played games where you've like, in classic, where you've destroyed the targeting computer, and you completely forget innocently, and you're still racking it out at, you know, that minus to hit level. So I think that there is a scope for that for sure. And then just to really echo what Tom said, I think the real crux of this and the advantage of it comes in like the campaign management. You know, if you're using things like Megamech for campaign management, which is kind of a simulator where you input all the data and then it will spit out and tell you what all the kind of rules and regs are and what you've done, or even like Master Unit List, which is just a superb resource, obviously, for BattleTech fans. So, yeah, I think it's similar to what Tom said, but with a bit of a caveat.
I was just thinking, too, there could be a really cool campaign management feature where, you know, you generate the sheets in a central and send them to the player. And then at the end of it, it goes back in with all the updated damage. And,
right,
you know, it'd be cool for record keeping purposes across games.
Yeah, I agree.
Very cool. I'd like updated a database of your company.
Yeah, no, you absolutely could. And I think, you know, to your point, though, there are lines in the sand where I want the clickety clack. I want to be rolling dice. I want to watch that 12 come up. I don't want to shake my phone. Like, that's dumb. Like, I want to roll the dice, you know, and things like that. But in terms of the record keeping, I think I could offload some of that. But let's jump to the next topic here in our Ready Room Roundtable, which is, do digital aids lead to an unfair monetization of the fan base? So, Dom, you were just talking about something. I'll let you start here. So I guess it was a couple months ago at this point, right? Games Workshop.
Yeah.
Made some changes, right? So let's talk about that and whether or not,
So it's obviously, I suppose there is a commercial fear around this, and we've seen it across other gaming systems as well. I don't want to pick on Games Workshop. I think plenty of other firms do this, but Games Workshop have, or at the time of recording anyway, they may have reversed this decision by the time this goes out, but they put their new Battlefield Builder, or whatever you want to call it, behind a paywall that you need to subscribe to Warhammer Plus, which is their kind of digital channel where they do painting things and there's like cartoons on there and things like that. And we're still kind of coming fresh off this news. I would imagine the community will be quite upset about it, because you're asking people to pay, you know, like what I'd consider a subscription service for something, you know, back in the day, like, you know, one of the big
battle scrap
games that you could, right, that cost you $15, $20 a month or whatever it is. I think the whole point of tabletop is that it's supposed to liberate you from that to some extent. And they're kind of trying to cash in on this. Now, and I think, and I'll say this very quickly because I don't want to take up too much time, but I think where the companies can go wrong is obviously, they look at this as like a commercial opportunity, whereas I would see it as something to bring somebody into the game, and then you get the opportunities off the back of that, the commercial opportunities. So let them have, you know, like Master Unit List is a free resource to all BattleTech fans, and I guarantee that if they monetize that, it would crush segments of the community because we use it all the time. It would be a horrendous commercial decision. It would really alienate the fan base. They're never going to do that in BattleTech. It's a completely different setup. But that's effectively what Games Workshop have just done.
So let's talk about AR and VR. So Tom, riddle me this. What is the difference for our viewers between augmented reality and virtual reality? Simple.
Very simply, like augmented reality would be like looking through a pair of glasses in the real world, like at your tabletop, and having overlaid digital content on top of it. So you could have textures or, you know, markers, extra information on a unit, whatever. And then VR would be a fully virtual world, like an Oculus headset, where everything is digitally rendered in a 3D environment, right?
Yeah, very cool. So what would AR look like in your mind? What would AR look like for BattleTech?
So there's two really compelling uses of it in my head. And there are some implementations of this, not specific to BattleTech, that I've seen, like, you know, Kickstarters for that probably have never been realized. But and Microsoft had that table with their headset. So one really cool one would be to have digital terrain and environmental effects. Like, imagine you want to have fog, whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. You don't have a fog machine in your house, you can do that. Things like distance measuring. So
it's not 1998 anymore. I gave my fog machine away.
Typically, if you're using it for like a tabletop game, what you do is you digitally pin the parameters of the board so it knows how big it is with a camera set up. And then you could even have it do things like distance measurement automatically. It can even tell you how far away they are. You can have action effects, right? So you hit somebody with an LRM, and then all of a sudden, with your augmented reality, you see little explosions on the mech you hit. It can be really cool. You could have digital sheets.
What about
right,
like scanning? Could you like scan a mech or something, and it comes up with all its stat lines, or you can feed that damage like, in? Say, could you get that elaborate?
Yeah. So you have like an ECM on your pilot, right? And that would give you the ability with your AR headset or glasses to like, see more details on a mech that could be hidden from another player. So there's a lot of cool, like fun things. And then there's the real crunchy part of you could have digitally rendered mech sheets, right? That only exist on the screen that you can manipulate.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool. Nice. There's a lot of cool things, I think.
And so in that sort of AR scenario, you would still have, you know, maps and mechs, physical mechs and things like
physical minis.
Right. Physical minis. Interesting.
Yeah.
And what about VR? Like, what do you think that would look like for BattleTech? Would that be like the pods, or would that be just sit in my chair and put my glasses on? Like, what do you think that, what could that be?
So specifically to the tabletop game of BattleTech, the way that VR could be implemented, that's really cool, is the ability to walk through your board, right? Like, there could be some really awesome things where you can zoom in. So think about a third person view of a board, sort of a high level, but the ability to zoom in and be the same, be a human scale of a mech, walk around and see, like, there's really cool things. I don't know that you really gain playability except for in the virtual play, right? Where you can play with people that aren't co-located geographically with you. Then you can, so there's two ways you could do it. You could have a virtual tabletop where everybody is avatars and you're playing with people that are remote from you in like a normal way, as if you had a board in front of you. You pick up a mini, you move the mini, or it can be fully immersive where maybe you're the size of a mech, right? And so you can see things, and it could be pretty cool. But that would be the way. It's really a collaborative tool at that point, I think.
Would it take away our arguments about cover? Like, I could zoom into the cockpit of my Marauder and see that your Wolverine is in fact in cover. Awesome. Finally.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I mean. Like, there's some really cool things there, you know?
Yeah.
And like, imagine the really elaborate terrain you could build and how cool that
Amazing.
Would be. You know,
it would be amazing, right?
But then you get into the realm of it's just a video game, right? And that's why I think
the idea of being,
But having it be mainly a collaborative tool, like you can imagine, like there's VR chat, right? You can walk into a room that's an open gaming room with a table set up. Somebody's waiting for a player to show up. You just walk in and say, "Oh, I'll play with you," just like an old gaming store, like a virtual local gaming store. It's really cool. I'd
imagine as well it'd be a very good teaching tool as well. You could really do like classes to 30 people plus virtually.
This is how you actually
the entire mechanics of the game.
So to me, you could use this like a friend finding type tool for BattleTech players. But to me, like, the AR is more compelling, and maybe that's old school me speaking, but like VR just becomes like, why wouldn't I just play MechWarrior? Right, or something like that. Yep. But I'll throw this out there as a final point on this roundtable. Let's talk about hollow tables, Tom. All right, let's talk about, is this ever going to be a thing where, you know, you install something on your ceiling, you have like a tabletop that maybe or whatever, and it just projects everything, you know, and you can move your dudes and they like, you know, move around and shoot to your point. Like, is that ever a thing?
I've seen some projector setups that try to do that. You have an app where you can set up markers and all that kind of stuff. They're really cool, but then, you know, there's a lot of setup involved in that. And I think the AR would probably be better than than like a physical overlay, because then you have shadows when arms move inside of it. All those issues with projections.
Right.
I once saw something similar as well. There was a friend of mine once put a massive flat screen TV into a like a table, and then you could just put the different landscapes up on there, which I thought was a bit of a gimmick, honestly, but it was
agreed.
I suppose cheap and cool, or cheaper.
I think there is certainly, and we don't have to get real deep in this, but I think there's certainly an appeal. Big part of this hobby is, you know, creating. Like, we're creators, we're artists. We want to paint the minis. We want to create the tables. We want to, you know, we want to paint the terrain. Like, we want to do these things. And then, you know, you sort of create this world. And to me, like, out of all of these things, AR is definitely the most compelling. The holo tables, which I think, who knows what could happen in 10 or 15 years. I mean, you could have mini projectors at the corners of the tables, right? Maybe the hand thing isn't an issue. Who knows how it works? But I think that would be cool if you could kind of customize and like paint your own minis in like sort of a digital way, right? Skin them in different ways and like deploy them, right? I don't know. The VR thing, again, like too computer game adjacent. But all right, so let's jump into our patron Q&A, great round table. So we have a question here from Icarus Ward.
Say what?
So speaking of the video games, I think this is relevant. Which soundtracks do you guys prefer more? The soundtracks from the new Harebrained Schemes Battletech, MechWarrior 2, or one of the other MechWarrior soundtracks. So Dom, why don't we start with you? Which one is your favorite soundtrack?
The Harebrained Scheme one is beautiful. I actually will listen to that. I've got like the link on YouTube. I'll just kind of put it as ambient music. It's very, very well done. So simple answer from me, that one.
Tom, what about you?
I prefer DFA Wargaming soundtracks over any of them.
Oh, that commercial mindset.
Yeah. A plus. Well done. You can stream those. Stream them on Amazon, guys.
But and Spotify.
And Spotify. Extreme.
No, I think MechWarrior 2, for sure. I'm a big fan of both the music and also even just like, you know, chiptune music in general, and
then
very 8-bit, 16-bit.
I mean, the MechWarrior 2 Mercs soundtrack, absolutely fantastic in my opinion. But yeah, the MechWarrior 2
soundtrack to my life.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like, you know, if I'm going to the grocery store, I just put it on, like, dun it, dun it, dun it, dun.
Yeah, knock stuff over in the aisle.
Just like smash the box of cereal, right?
Like when you would drop one of like those drop ships, you know, and it would like shatter.
Oh, the old into like four giant polygons, like oh my god. So let's jump into our rapid fire, which is a fantastic segment. Let's keep with the video game. So we talked about the soundtrack. Let's talk about the actual game itself. What's your favorite BattleTech MechWarrior video game all time?
MechWarrior 2. I still play it sometimes.
Awesome, Dom.
Mech Commander 2, and it's not even negotiable. I love that game so much.
That's
a cool game.
That's a tough one for me. I'm going to go with MechWarrior 4. I spent logged tons of hours in that game, but I will tell you there's a little known BattleTech game. I think it's called BattleTech 3025. It was an EA game that came out. Yeah. It was a massive multiplayer game. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
and it was there, and then it just disappeared. It was absolutely phenomenal. You could pick the house, and then you would just log in and join, and you would wait to get queued into a game. And like the borders of the different houses were constantly in flux. It was very, very cool. Yeah. I think there was something to that. I think a massive multiplayer BattleTech game or MechWarrior game would be really cool. All right. So speaking of which, speaking of mercenaries, let's talk about all the new mercenary packs that came out. Tom, we just recently, I guess not so recently, but we did review the Great Eth Legion one. That was the last of five. We also looked at the Snords Irregulars pack. What was the favorite new, your most favorite new mercenary lance pack?
Snords, just because of the name.
Snords. Dom, what about you?
I've got to go with the Kellhounds pack.
Love it. All right, next question. You're building a mech. You have some spare tonnage. Do you put on jump jets or more heat sinks? Tom.
Oh, that is so hard. I have to give an answer.
It depends on the mech, right?
Oh, man.
Oh. This is rapid fire, Dom.
Oh, jump jets.
Dom, what about you?
Heat sinks.
Yeah,
heat
jump sinks. Jets as well. Love a jump jet.
I would go heat sinks all day. All right, last rapid fire question. You're a Star League Defense Force mech warrior in 2784. Kerensky has given you the option of leaving with the Exodus or staying in the Inner Sphere. What do you do? Dom, you go first.
Well, with the 2020 vision hindsight, I'm going nowhere near those sociopaths, so I'm staying in the Inner Sphere. But at the time, I kind of understood why he did, why you'd do it. So, yeah.
Fair point. Tom, you stay or you leave?
I'm staying.
You're staying.
It's like all the people. Yeah. I'm not a cultist, so.
No, I get it. I would stay as well. I would stay as well. I'm an Inner Sphere guy at heart, as everybody knows. All right, well, Tom, are you ready for the Render Blender?
Yeah, what everyone comes to the show for.
It is. Yeah. It is true.
I drank a smoothie of like 5 minis earlier today to prepare. So
today's Render Blender is the Gunslinger. Delicious.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to bring this guy up full screen here, Tom. So we have three pictures courtesy of Anthony Scroggins' Patreon. Now, obviously, Shimmering the Gunslinger.
Himself.
Yeah, he's a great dude. So obviously, the Gunslinger model's already released. Many of you already have it. But here is three renders of this guy. We've got the sort of the front, the top, and then the delightful, delicious rear. So let's start here with this view here, Tom, and then you can guide us through.
Love this mech. I think I liked it when I looked at it in person too. So the first thing I'll say is that it looks like the Mystery Science 3000 robot is riding inside of an exo suit, which I love.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I could never look at him the same way again. I was like, oh, this thing's so intimidating. No.
No, it's awesome though. Yeah, this is a really cool mech. I think they did a great job on the legs. I really like the turtle shells that they integrated for the tie-in with the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. cool. Yeah. But no, it's awesome and it is super imposing. I'm always a big fan of shoulder gauntlet covers. What's the term for that? When they have like the
pauldrons?
Pauldrons, yes. Yeah. Super cool pauldrons, no neck, very beefy looking. Let's get a pic of that rear shot. That Instagram thirst pick, as they call it. That's so good. Yeah. This is, I don't even know if I'm allowed to look at this. My wife might get upset at me.
Do you remember when we thought these little things were like jump jet thrusters, and then somebody had to point out that they were actually the rear mounted pulse lasers? Which is interesting because they're like pointed straight down, and they don't look like they rotate. But
maybe they just rotate out like this.
Maybe
it's like they're blind spot monitors, you know, like
beep 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 beep. You're about to crash.
Well, I mean, look,
I love that. You know, like
terrible rear visibility. You know,
yeah, but it's like an 80s like robot jocks toy, right? Like you press a button and they just fling up like pyong, and then you've got them like facing outwards, like Billy the Kid, but reverse.
Love it. Yeah, this is a super cool one. Yeah, the rear is nice on this one too. I like that it has an integrated CPU fan, probably high CFMs right there.
I think it's the rear window.
A GPU cooled off. Oh, that's it's a little portcullis.
Like Lopi, like looks out while he's shooting the elementals down on the bottom.
I imagine it has like you can open it.
Yeah.
You know?
Get off my legs, you damn kids.
Yeah, there's like elementals crawling up and he's like dropping like rotten fruit at them.
Like hot oil. So this is a fantastic design. Yeah. I brought one here because I'm currently painting up of these guys in sort of light colors, and it came out really, really well. Lots of detail on it. You know, especially when you wash it, or I used some speed paints on sort of the base coat, if you will. It grabbed a lot of the detail. And there's just tons of little things here, like you pointed out, to paint on it. And from a loadout perspective, it's a fantastic mech too. You know, this twin Gauss, right? What is it for? Are these medium pulse, Dom? I believe they're four medium pulse.
I think
pulse.
They're extended range, I think.
Yeah, depending on the
variant,
I think
it's medium
right?
pulse on the back. And it's, oh no, it's I'm just looking now. It's just standard M lasers, actually.
Oh, okay. Even better. Even I love those. Yeah. And then it's got some electronics on it as well, I think. So it makes it a suitable sort of command mech. Very, very cool. But so that's that.
Both in terms of the builds and also the mini, I give it an A.
An A?
I like
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one.
I was looking forward to this mech. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too. I think it's a good one and glad to have it in the repertoire already. Hopefully we'll get that out in a battle report soon. With the Sword of Light facing off against unknown adversaries in the Ilclan era. So that takes us to the end of this episode of Jump Point. So we'll wrap up there. A couple of things. If you haven't done so, please subscribe, like, leave a comment. And if you want to help out more, you can head on over to Patreon and join us there. It's as little as $1 a month. And that gets you in on the action, and everything helps out and keeps the channel moving. So thank you to all of our patrons. Also, if you're looking to get your hands on a brand new Gunslinger, you could head on over to Ares Games and Minis. Ares Games and Minis has all the stuff you need to fuel your Battletech addiction, from the minis, the books, the dice, terrain. It's got the decals, Fighting Piranha graphics, all the good stuff is over there. So definitely check out Ares Games and Minis. That said, guys, thank you so much for watching. And of course, stay tuned. Always great stuff coming from Death from Above Wargaming. Have a great day.